Welcome to the Near Post Local, football and futsal in the capital region, where too much football or futsal is never likely to be enough. I'm Peter Funnell. In tonight's program we have two interviews. The first is with Jitka Klimkova, the coach of Canberra United, our own W League team. Now Canberra United have made a stellar start to the season. This impromptu interview was conducted outside Football House just after the press conference prior to the team's departure for a game against Sydney last week. My apologies for the sound quality, which is a little variable in this short interview, but we were outside, there was a strong wind blowing and a truck full of kegs of water determined to pass over the top of us. Canberra United are now 3 victories from 3 games and sitting on top of the table. It's a short competition and they're in an excellent position to secure a place in the finals. Jitka is a new and innovative inclusion in the W League coaching fraternity, and clearly the players are responding. We'll conduct a full interview with Jitka this week for next Tuesday's program. I'm sure it'll turn out to be an interview that will be of significance to every coach in women's football, or indeed women's futsal. So let's hear from Jitka, and then it's on to Royston Thomas, the technical director of Capital Football. And we finish off that interview by returning to the relationship of futsal to the Football Centre of Excellence programs.
Just say that again.
Jitka Klimkova.
Right.
But I am used to, you know, it's okay. Some changes, it's coming.
No. You're a coach. Precision's important. as my son's swimming coach says, do everything with perfect technique.
That's right. On the field, off the field.
Off the field, absolutely. I'm speaking to Jitka Klimkova.
That's right.
The head coach.
Good job.
Okay, there's a goal. Straight away. Head coach, Canberra United. Canberra United have had a stellar start to the 2011-12 season. Jitka is a European coach, a world coach, and now she's with Canberra United. That's a real change in the top level of the women's domestic game here. Jitka, how's it going for you?
I am happy. I am happy here. I am happy to coach the team Canberra United. I am happy to be in this W League, which I saw many games already, and it's really high level of soccer. And I am proud to be here and be a coach in this really good league.
Look, the one thing I've noticed over the last few years is just how combative the women's game has got. Amazing.
I have to say, if someone watched, for example, the World Cup in Germany, everyone was so impressed about the women's football and about the improving compared to China 2007.
Big differences,
and it's really good for women's football. It's the quality is higher, the quantity, of course, is higher too. Many players start to play football, and it's great for us.
No, I'm glad you said that, because certainly in the last World Cup, no one smashed anyone. And then you got a final that was just out of this world in football terms. Contrast in styles and temperament.
Beautiful. And for example, the finals in Germany, Japan against US, it was so exciting game.
It was everything you'd want in football.
Yeah.
Back to Canberra United, we get distracted here. Look, you've had a really good start. 2 wins. Easy to say one might have expected a win against Adelaide, but I don't think anyone should assume anything.
No. This league doesn't have the weak teams, and it's good. It's good, and Adelaide is improving, Perth is improving, so I think the rest of the season will be exciting.
Oh, I reckon. Look, yes, I agree with you. I thought Adelaide were a much more competent opposition than last season.
They have new coach, they have new players. So a little bit of New Zealand influence.
Oh yes, absolutely.
So it's good. It's really good.
Perth, I expected to be strong. I thought they were really quite aggressive in your first half. We probably followed the ball a bit, but that changed in the second half.
Actually, we have better second halves. We had better second half in Adelaide. We had
true.
Better half in Canberra. Mm. And I have to say, Perth changed their style during their second game, during the second half.
Oh, did they? I didn't see anything of them.
Because they had again the new striker from New Zealand.
Yes.
She scored the goal actually against us, and they played a lot of balls to her.
Yeah, they're trying to push her through, aren't they?
Yes, yes. And which first game they played without her, and they weren't so dangerous against Melbourne. So I watched this game, and really it was different. Different the first game and second game. They really made a lot of changes on the field. And it was good for the game, actually.
Well, it was. So obviously that had to be taken into account at half-time and your instructions.
Oh, yeah, we had to be much more faster and much more effective in the second half. And I am really happy that we scored, because 44 shots.
Yeah, I know, it was amazing.
44 shots during the game and three goals. It can be positive that we scored three goals and we won the game, but honestly, I am sure it should be much more.
Well, 44 at goal and 20 odd on target.
Yeah, that's right.
Oops. you powered the engine up in the second half. That you're right. The pace.
Yeah.
They responded to your instructions, and I thought your use of the bench was good too. That kept the pace going.
Yes. It was really good that Alice Perry went on the field, and she helped us too on the right side. How many crosses she did during the 45 minutes, that was amazing. And it was really good that she had a good game.
Feature of her game, though, is the right foot crosses, aren't they?
Yeah,
they're very good. I got down near the goal to get a good look at them, and they were bending like a banana. They were all over the place. I don't know how you'd keep against them.
That's right.
That's terrific. Now, game against Sydney. Well, there's no one listening. What's the plan?
We want to steal the points in Sydney. That's the goal. And the style, we have to be more aggressive in defense. We have to pressure the ball much better than we did against Adelaide and Perth. Mm. That's the main most important thing to do, be aggressive, because we know they are a strong team. We know
they are, aren't they?
We've never beat them actually in history. So
that is a history.
Yeah, but we have to look at the future. Yeah. So our plan is to be aggressive in the defense, be really good organized, and we really want to attack. We want to play this style, offensive style, attacking style. We won't wait for them in our half of the field. We will be dangerous.
Oh, so wonderful. That's what we're here for. Would it be fair to call your structure, for want of a name, 4-3-3?
Yes.
Yeah. You, in that midfield, do you prefer to play point forward or point back?
We have one defensive midfielder. That's and two offensive ones, so it's triangle in the middle.
Yeah, so and last week Sally Shippard played that point back.
Yes.
Yeah.
And actually in the first game she came in second half, and have to say she changed the game.
Yes.
So she really had big influence when she was on the field, and it's common. So, and I am happy to have her on the team.
Oh gee, it's a coach's delight, isn't it, when you make a change and everything falls into place.
That's good.
Okay, look, good luck in Sydney. We don't
Thank
need to
you
know
very
anymore.
Much.
We'll watch it if we ever get this. Oh, let's hang on. Is it a television game?
No. Adelaide not, against it? Perth. It's a television game. But
what a mistake in scheduling that is.
I think it would be much more exciting to watch Sydney against Canberra. But we will be back next week.
Terrific.
And we played against Melbourne, so I hope the fans...
another good game.
The fans are going to come and support Canberra United.
Yes. Let's remind the listener, if they're not aware of the structure of the competition, it's a 10-round competition.
Yeah.
No one wants to drop a game anywhere. So the pressure is on every game, literally.
And we are ready for that. We are ready to focus on the games. We are not talking about the finals, about the semifinals.
No.
It's far away. We have Sydney now. We have Melbourne next week. So that's the most important thing for us.
We'll now continue on with another part of our interview with Royston Thomas, the technical director of Capital Football. And Royston revisits the issue of futsal and its relationship with the Centre of Excellence programs.
I believe that players need to play as much as train.
Mm.
Otherwise, they will get bored.
Can I ask you about futsal? We talk about football.
Of course.
Loiter on futsal for a little while.
Right.
Separate game in its own right often demands players, well, quite obviously, I think, who, at the younger age groups particularly, who are playing football, they play futsal. So they just migrate from one thing to another. And in the days, probably, I guess, when, you know, you could make a clear distinction between winter and summer, then the summer occupied futsal a fair bit and winter football. But we've got lots of crossover now because football, the predominant sport, is now moving across the whole of the calendar year.
Yeah.
That's just the way all the big sports are doing this. Futsal doesn't claim them in that substantive way, but although we play it all the year, really it gets serious in summer because it heads to nationals. But that's a substantial reason. What advice can you give to the parents and players out there when they are faced with these twin demands? What would be the... I know we've said a lot before, but I think we probably need to make it clearer now.
Well, I mean, our SAP program starts in February and goes till the end of November, maybe the first week in December.
Yeah.
And that's it. They have a summer off.
Yep.
They have those 8 weeks off to rest and recover or do what they want to do, go on holidays and so forth. Now, I'll just remind you, that program, the SAP program, the skill acquisition program, is only for the very serious players.
Yeah.
It's for a very small number of players.
Yeah. Now,
I've made it quite clear to those players, or we are trying to educate them, that once they're in that program, that's their main priority. There's no other... That has to be very clear.
Yeah.
Now, if to supplement that, if they want to play futsal when they are not playing or training with the skill acquisition program, they are encouraged to do that. Because I believe, because I played futsal from a young age myself. And every game of small-sided football, for me, is a futsal game.
Yeah.
Because the same principles apply. You have many contacts with the ball. It's very quick. You need a certain skill to play it. You need a good first touch. You need to be quick, play a lot of wall passes, one twos,
lots of decision making.
Absolutely, because it's happening all the time.
Yeah,
you don't get much chance to relax at all.
No.
And it's quite a physically demanding game.
Yes,
but what I'm worried about with our for the players who are in the SAP program, that if they play too much football, especially on hard surfaces, as futsal is, or any hard surface, then they're going to cause themselves injuries that they might not be aware of, overuse injuries, for example. But now, with regards to, so for the very special players, I'll just repeat that, for our skill acquisition programs, the number one commitment is the Lebanon side game.
Right.
But they have a choice. We don't say you have to. They decide to come in there, and that's quite clear. And then off they go. Now, again, if they've got something that's, if they've got a futsal program to supplement it, and it's not too overloaded, injury wise and so forth, especially with their period of going through the growth spurt. And the ankles and the knees and the hips, you know, and making sure that they grow correctly. The skeleton in general grows correctly without too much hindrance. then there's no issue. Mm. Now, for the rest of the players, there's never going to be an issue anyway. Mm. Now,
look, the reason I ask you that question, I'm not taking sides here.
No.
Because we have a limited pool of players here in the ACT.
Yes.
And the reality is, it's the same pool we dip into for both games.
Well, you've got 6,000 futsal players.
Yeah. Yeah, you do.
And we'll have, with our SAP program, the Skilleroos will be 14. We're going to give the players opportunities. Do you want to come into the Skilleroos? Yes. But in that case, then you have to commit yourself to that program. That means that anything else that you would, like Aussie rules, rugby league, rugby union, and futsal comes a second best.
Okay, so that I think that makes it very clear. For those 14 or so players...
14 to 16 Skilleroos, that will apply.
That's in the boys.
Yes, yeah, at the moment.
At the moment.
Yes, yes.
Those constraints apply.
Now, we'll also be applying that to the 12s, boys and girls.
Right.
And the 10s.
That are in the SAP.
Correct.
Okay.
So all the players in the skill acquisition program, those conditions will apply. Now, it's not mandatory to become an SAP program player.
Mm-hmm.
Because up to that time, you can do what you know, you go and do what you like.
Yeah.
But once you become a skill acquisition program player, then you commit yourself to that program.
Right. Well, what I'll say about that is that ruling is consistent with the underpinning philosophy you have for the skills acquisition program.
If you are at Manchester United or Swansea City, for example, and you become a skill acquisition player at Swansea City, for example,
yep,
or Tottenham Hotspur or
whatever,
Chelsea or whatever,
yep,
Inter Milan, Barcelona,
yep,
you name it, Vasco da Gama, Brazil,
yep,
anyway, then you automatically are expected to commit yourself to that program. But it's only for the limited players.
Yeah.
It's not for everybody.
Yep.
So out of 6,000 futsal players, you'll have 14 to 16 with our Skilleroos.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have 32 with our under 12s, and we'll have 14 with our under 10s.
Yep.
So that's a total of what, Peter?
It's
about 40, 50 players.
Okay, I'm not going to argue against it, but you and I both know that the same thing that has attracted their inclusion and acceptance into the skill acquisition program makes them so makes most of them, perhaps not all play, makes them desirable to being selected for futsal at age at the nationals.
Mm.
So, but we are drawing a line in the sand here. We're saying there has to be a limit, and there has to be some rules about this participation.
Now, at the moment, if there's a player in there, say, for example, in a Skilleroo team, who gets selected by the futsal coaches to play in the nationals, that's in January.
Mm-hmm.
I've got no issue with that.
When would, and so you would expect them, well, if they were selected, they would have the potential to join after.
Absolutely. I can't see an issue there.
Okay.
I can't see an issue. Why not?
No.
I mean, it's...
It's only in the...
They train once a week with the futsal, or once a... Sorry, they train at the moment...
I don't know.
There's an overlap at the moment. That's the issue.
That's the issue with training.
Yeah, now what we've got to do, now that I understand the process,
mm-hmm,
but remember I've been here 9 months.
No, that's cool.
Yeah. I see the process, so we might even look at or get around the table with everyone and say, look, do we bring the national squads in a bit later after the skill acquisition program finishes?
Mm.
Do we start in the first week of December?
Mm.
And then there's no...
Mm.
Overlap.
Mm.
I've got no issue with people playing futsal in the nationals, but they have to decide what's their first priority.
And I think you've got, I'm not, as I say, I'm not taking aside and arguing, because I've already said I think the underpinning philosophy on the football skill acquisition program is absolutely spot on. I don't see how you can see it any other way.
No.
But
you can't have a player training 5 nights a week,
yeah,
doing different sports, No. If he wants to be serious about one sport,
it doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
Doesn't
like
work
that.
In anything.
No, it doesn't.
Now, but I actually think we've got more flexibility to resolve these, this sort of calendar problem we've got with futsal in terms of futsal at the national level.
Yes,
because we're now playing a little bit more Premier League futsal. So we're the difficulty for us has always been that we'd play north and south of the lake in community programs, and then all of a sudden we'd have some trials and we'd have to climb Mount Everest to get to the level of competitiveness that they were in major centres like Queensland or New South Wales. Our standard of futsal was nowhere near as high. So we'd have to put in an inordinate amount of effort, and then it was all hard work. The first time you would meet really tough teams is at the Nationals. You'd end the Nationals by thinking, now I'm ready to play the Nationals. It was, but we've got better at that. We're bridging that gap a bit more with some Premier League futsal. Okay, that's helping, luckily. And the big one is the Boomerangs, because they're going off and they're playing at the highest domestic level in Australia, in New South Wales. They don't come any tougher. No. Every player in New South Wales, and they dominate, they meet, they'll play. Every coach that will coach one of those teams is one of those coaches on the other side.
Right.
No question. So that gap is already bridged to some substantial degree now.
With the Boomerangs.
With the Boomerangs.
Absolutely.
So I can see the inevitably how there will be an overlap of training intentions, but that's just a coordination issue, isn't it, really?
Peter, I keep saying to you, if a player wants to play futsal,
yeah,
off you go and play futsal.
Hmm.
If you want to play in the SAP program,
yeah,
then you're in the SAP program.
Yeah.
There's two choices there for everybody.
Yeah.
We're not telling people that what to play. They decide. Mm. Now, once they're in that program, then they're committed to the SAP program.
Yeah, there are conditions. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Because we're putting a lot of time and effort into this.
Mm.
I'm not having a player not turn up and say, oh, can't turn up tomorrow night and go in to do something else. That's very amateur. That's for the amateurs.
Hey,
if they want to be a professional footballer, if they want to be a professional footballer, they have to commit themselves to that program. Whether it's SAP program, 11 aside, or the futsal program.
Mm.
Now, once the... So that's quite clear, yeah? Now, once the SAP program finishes or stops for the summer, then players are free to do what they want in those 8 to 10, December, January, in those 10 weeks. If they want, they are quite, if a coach from the Nationals wants to keep a spot open or two in his squad for that player, and the player is interested,
allow that player to join them and have a look
no
at
problem.
Them.
Yeah. As long as, and I'll be keeping watchful eye on this through the futsal technical assistant, that's Rod Lyons, is to make sure that the standard of practice and behaviour and quality of the player is looked after in the futsal.
Yeah.
That would be the same at the clubs as well. That's why we got to endeavour to get over to the clubs through our forums and our workshops, what we're doing at the top level,
yes,
so that the clubs at the at the community level, and understand and try and emulate what we do, so everyone is on the same page.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so as far as I'm concerned, there's no fight.
No, there's a coordination issue over a period of time. That's what we're talking about.
Absolutely. And we've got to look at it now for next year, the year after.
Yeah.
So I'll be a lot more educated in the in what's what in football and in futsal.
But I can see your point. The football objectives here are very big and very serious, and you've got to hold something constant.
Yeah.
You do. And in terms of this SAP, right, you've got to lay some rules down, hold those constant, keep that firm peg in the ground, and then shake out the rest. Because you can't be everywhere at once. The kids can't have everything. No one can have everything.
The top players in this world,
they don't have everything.
The top swimmers, the top gymnasts, they're in one sport.
Yeah, they do.
They got no.
I recall a young swimmer earlier this year who's at a national level saying, a story told to me, I want to play football this winter. speaks to his coach, the head coach, and says, I want to play football this winter. Head coach's response, terrific. Terrific additional sport to play. Love football myself. One rule. Nothing you do in football can compromise your effort at swimming. Because if it does, you're no longer a swimmer.
But it should complement it.
It should complement it.
That's the word.
Yes.
And as far as futsal is concerned, I played it from a young age.
But those are reasonable decisions to make young kids understand.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Are they not?
Absolutely.
Yeah. This is terrific. I think everyone should have a very clear understanding of where this is at. I know it's difficult. We've got lots of 48 clubs and 18,000 players and twice as many parents and everyone chattering. Break this down to the message you've heard here tonight, and it'll assist you in managing your children and the young athlete, I think.
Closing up on things, I just want to remind everybody that just want to finish off on the SAP program, the skill acquisition program, is that every time we'll pick a squad, we'll have a very important meeting with the parents and everyone to do with those players to make sure that they understand what they're getting themselves into. We've already started that, and we'll continue with that to educate everyone what it's about.
Capital Football are running a football conference.
Yeah, it's a state coaching conference, and it's on the 19th and 20th of November. It's Canberra FC Football Club. I'm very pleased that Marco has they've allowed us to use that facility. Middle over 2 days. It'll start at 9 till about 5 o'clock each day. And it'll give the opportunity of coaches to recredit their licenses by attending. They will also have the opportunity to see lectures on the national curriculum, on conditioning footballers, football conditioning. There'll be a segment on skill acquisition. The National Coach Education Scheme, Coach Accreditation Scheme.
Which fantastic. So, what's the attendance like?
Well, it's full.
Wow.
We've stopped taking candidates on it, or limited it to 70, and it's full already. And maybe next year, when we do the same, or we might even have another one before next year. We might go to a, we might open it up to more. But the venue which we've got is excellent. The pitch is beautiful, as you know.
Yes.
The facility is good. So we kept it to 70, and it's
that's pretty big bunch.
Yeah. It'd be good. And Hanberger and Alistair Edwards and Kelly Cross, that's hopefully going to attend, and so it should be a real good 2 days.
Now, before we close, we mustn't let it pass. You reminded me earlier, before we started, the club coach accreditation.
Right, okay.
Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, now, the coach accreditation is basically to improve players, improve coaches. Simple as that. And what we are looking at doing is, over the next few years, bringing in a minimum qualification that you need to run, coach at a club.
Coach at a club, yeah.
Coach at a club. So, for example, the Premier League, the Senior Premier League, the very minimum they should have by the year 2013 to start the season. For this season now, might be a bit unrealistic, but it would be preferred, is a C licence.
Yes.
Yeah. Then maybe in 2015... a B licence. You must have a B licence to run that, to coach at that level.
Yeah, it's a bit of a step up.
It is a bit of a step up, and there's lots of, areas that, that might inhibit people from doing it. Cost.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. That has to be discussed eventually. Now, what we're hoping that, so just going on that, we've got a course starting now in November, a C license, an FFA C license. There's 22 coaches booked on that and paid, so that's going to go ahead.
Really?
And we've already started taking names, and I had a call this morning about the C license in March. So,
there you go.
And then we're hoping from all the candidates who did the C license in March 2011, which is just last few 6 months ago, the one we just mentioned now in November, and the one in March 2012, we should have enough candidates then to run an FFA B license in October. So what we're doing is not good us saying that we have to, that clubs have to have coaches with these qualifications if we cannot provide the courses for them to go on. And make it
But you need a base population of C licenses
to get onto the B. Exactly. So so for example, as I mentioned, the Premier League men and the Premier League women, we'd like that every coach has minimum C license for the start of 2013. That's realistic, no, but the year 2015, a B license. And then who knows, maybe, because that's, you know, that, and a goalkeeping, also a goalkeeping license as well for the club, so that every club has a goalkeeping coach who can work with all the players throughout the different age groups. And then, you know, you look at the state league, maybe the first and second division, eventually every coach having a C license there, and then working down then to the junior licenses, the junior clubs, you know, where everyone has got a community, or should have a community a coaching license, a youth or senior, sorry, youth or junior. Well, by the way, everyone working in senior football should really have minimum senior license on the community bit, minimum of that. But preferred is a C license. So that's what we're aiming to do in consultation with the clubs. It's a sensible thing, but there are a few things that might inhibit that. We're trying to break those in the, you know, those resistances down, should I say, by, you know, making it available in ACT, so they don't have to go to Sydney anymore.
That's a step forward.
And
I mean, it serves the region too. I mean, going to Sydney's not good for a lot of people around this region either.
No, I mean, you know, so that's why, you know, I've decided, you know, that's why I've focused quite a bit on these licences coming up very shortly.
Excellent. Look, we've covered a heap of ground, as ever. Bro, you're very generous with your time, mate. Thanks very much.
Peter, it's my pleasure.
You have been listening to the Near Post Local on 2XXFM, where too much football or futsal is never likely to be enough. Football and futsal in the capital region. Go to the podcast for this program at www.nearpostlocal.blogspot.com. You'll find a lot of interesting interviews and items there for the discerning football or futsal tragic. Enjoy your futsal and football. See you next time. Ta-da.